pent-ultimate episode of our vampire season here on the Here's Johnny cast. I am your host, Larry.
And I am your other host, Justin. Is it really the pent-ultimate episode? Do we only have the one next week?
Next week is going to be Are Vampires Still Scary? Which will include our season wrap-up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It went by a lot faster than the last one.
Sure did. We started it when I was in Utah, and now here we are in a global pandemic.
Living
the dream.
Putting it lightly.
We'll get into all that fun stuff later, but again, I wanted to apologize for those of you who are waiting for our review of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night. The audio was just corrupted beyond recovering on one of the audio files, and we just couldn't fix it. And so we decided to try something different, and hopefully you liked that episode. The downloads seemed to show you did.
Yeah, and I mean, let us know if you did like it, because I thought it was actually pretty fun to do, and I'd like to kind of do something like that in the future, too.
And Justin inspired me last week. He was inspired by Rachel Amars over on Zombie Girls.
Yes.
We are now going to both be drinking during the podcast. So this episode, on my end, is brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It is to the Misfits, Black Sheep, and Screwballs.
Oh, and on my end, I'm drinking the exact same thing again. It's a Ales from the Crypt, and it is a Black Currant Sour. So,
fun. So in the opening, before we get into our review of, obviously, the title gives it away, What We Do in the Shadows, we're going to talk about what's been new with us, but before we dive into personal stuff, I thought we'd kick off with something Justin and I both took time to play today, the Resident Evil 3 remake demo.
Yeah, and wow.
Justin, did you die at all?
No, I did not. I was very close. Like, I think I was out of healing items by the end of it, that's for sure. What about yourself?
I died once.
I think I
messaged you in Discord about it. Nemesis is no joke. That's going to suck. Jill is a lot less agile and far more slower than Claire and Leon were in 2. And Nemesis is a lot faster than Mr. X. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, when he does his like super jump in the air and then just kind of lands in front of you, like it's going to be... That game
and
is going to be
hard. I was trying
hard.
My best to, like, I don't know if I was trying to, like, not get pumped for it, because there's a part of me, we've discussed this at length in the podcast before, who wanted to see Resident Evil 8 not Resident Evil 3 remake, just because the 3 isn't that long of a game, right? I mean, it's a shorter one of the entries in the series. And so I would rather see a new entry, but this has got me hyped again. It looks beautiful. It plays flawless.
I just realized that the last Resident Evil, you didn't get to use like the HDR and all that stuff, but you got to use it this time.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, so I just want to start off by agreeing with you. It is a gorgeous game. It is even like prettier than RE2.
It's amazing. It's absolutely breathtaking.
I will say, just like with the original Resident Evil 3, I don't really like Nikolai's voice actor.
Yeah, I actually think I'm going to start the OG 3 tonight.
I mean, it's when you get back and play it. I mean, I don't remember the last time you played it.
It's been a while.
I played it like 2 weeks ago. I think we were talking about it, and it took me like 4 hours, if that. Like, it's a short game. But even just like... looking at the cutscene at the end of the demo, it looks like they definitely have added stuff. And I think they're still going to hit like the big moments, but I think there's going to be I know there's like a fast travel system with the subway. And
oh, cool.
Yeah. So I think they're actually like really flushing out Raccoon City, which
I've
really
been
cool.
Keeping myself in the dark, so I have no idea. But yeah, that came out today on all consoles and PC. Mm-hmm. So be sure to check that out. But then, on a broader note, Justin, how's life with COVID-19? What have you been playing? What have you been reading? Things going smooth?
Things are going. I actually went to the grocery store the first time since it all started yesterday. And man, the for one, I will say it wasn't packed, but it's really weird to go to a grocery store and just see like shelves emptied and like
yes.
things that are like shelves that are always there, like completely gone because they can't keep whatever is on that shelf in stock. So they just like move it.
Yeah, but I walked up there today because we live right next to a grocery store, and I walked up there to get a Red Bull.
Yeah.
And I just kind of did a lap around the store, and like no milk, no pasta, no bread, no. Yeah. It's very weird.
Yeah, and I mean, like you could feel like there was a couple people in there. I think there was like maybe 12 people in there, where usually that grocery store that I go to is packed.
Yeah.
But you could like almost like feel the tension in the air. Like it was almost like sickening to go into the store because you could just like, I don't know, you feel everybody wasn't feeling good and like nobody trusted each other.
It's been the nicest part about staying home because I have been able to just not see it. And I think not being able to see it helps a whole lot.
Yeah, like I the only time I really see it is on my drive to and from work. And
okay.
It's weird seeing the streets like completely dead at like I don't know, it's just so weird. Like it's
yeah.
I don't know. It's been a interesting time, but yeah.
You play any games or movies or shows or anything?
I watched a bunch of movies. I guess we'll talk about it now because they'll be coming out this week.
Yeah.
I watched Nightmare on Elm Street.
The OG.
Yes, the OG. The good one. The Crazies, which didn't help with some of my...
that was my choice.
Yeah. that was a little stress-inducing, but I enjoyed it. Anyways, but other than that, I've been working and just trying to work while I can because I don't really know what is going to happen for my work. What about you?
No, for sure, man. That's the hardest part, right?
Yeah.
Sure. So for myself, I'll give a COVID update of myself then. I'm working from home now.
Yeah.
They have shut down my lab at Ohio State. It's very odd. I'm thankful that I'm still able to collect a salary and be able to work and stuff. But it's also pretty scary, you know? Like,
yeah.
Maybe makes it, because you hear about it, right? And you hear the bars are closing and you hear all this stuff's happening. But to have it really, really hit you, it's quite different. Kind of bought into the hysteria a little bit. I went to a rifle store here in Columbus and freaked myself out because as I was sitting there, I saw about 40 people buy AR-15s.
See, we don't have something like that in Canada. So.
And that made me more nervous.
Yeah.
But honestly, just trying to keep life going smooth, right? Devin still has to work. And she still has to go into her office. And so I'm just at home, working from home for the lab stuff. And then also just taking care of stuff. So that's on that end. As for media I also watched The Crazies. I finished up season one of Lock and Key on Netflix.
And how did you feel about that? I remember you saying something in Discord, but I couldn't remember.
So I was told there was a bunch of Lovecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see a whole lot of Lovecraft. And it was okay, and it actually had some like pretty scary images, but then it kind of got blah.
CWE.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know what? You saying that, I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, perfect. Obviously, I watched What We Do in the Shadows. It was my first time, didn't realize that Taika Waititi was in it. I'm really excited to talk about that.
Yeah.
We watched OG Nightmare on Elm Street. I watched the miniseries The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez.
What is that?
Oh my gosh. It's about this kid who was tortured and murdered by his parents.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
And well, I didn't know. It popped up and I decided looking for stuff to watch, and there was like a bunch, like they actually indicted four social workers because four people had gone to this kid's house, four social workers, and had saw him, like, the BB gun wounds and, like, the bruises and stuff, and didn't do anything.
Oh, wow. What the
hell? And then the last episode talked about how many times that happens, and it was just, whew, super sad. Yeah, so, I don't know. We gotta do better for our kids, so that's an entire different discussion. I watched The Ritual on Netflix.
Is that the one where they go into the woods?
Yes.
Okay.
I described it like Blair Witch meets The Descent meets Norse Gods.
So, I really love like the first half of that movie. It is like so tense and insane.
Love the first 35 minutes. The middle part was like, uh-oh, and then the last 35 was like, god damn.
You were doing so well. I will say, like, the first when they go to sleep in the cabin, when they wake up the next morning, I loved
that. I thought it was aliens, and I was so pumped. And then, yeah, okay, so that was that. Played the demo Resident Evil 3. I finished up the Mortal Kombat 11 combat pack with Spawn. Played through the tower with him, got his ending. They definitely gave him justice. He's a strong character, but he's a little bit too slow for me. Honestly, my favorite character from the combat pack was Joker.
I won't lie. I don't even remember who came out other than Spawn.
So it was Shang Tsung, Nightwolf, Terminator, Spawn, Joker, Sindel.
Okay. I still haven't touched it, so...
You're good. And then I'm almost finished with the first Shadow of Mordor game.
Oh, yeah, and you're still enjoying that, I take it?
I love it, yeah. I actually put it down because I'm sad because I know I'm right near the end. But I've found all of the inscriptions. I've found all of the items. Yeah, just wrapping things up.
Before you move on to the second one, I forget what it's called. Shadow of War, I think?
Middle-earth Shadow of War, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would give yourself just a little bit of a break before you go into it. Like, play like a cleanser game.
I trust you, but why do you say that?
So, I played, I'm getting all my titles mixed up, Shadow Mordor. Right before.
Called 1 and 2.
Okay, yeah, so I played 1 right before 2 came out, and then I dove right into 2. And they change some stuff, but they don't change enough if you're playing it directly after. And it just kind of feels... It definitely feels good, but it doesn't feel like as good almost in a way.
I don't know. It's like a DLC. Really, almost
like a DLC, the first 70-hour DLC, but yes.
Okay. And that's pretty much it. I think we've been talking too much here. Quickly. Yes.
I've also been playing Persona 4 because I'm so pumped for Persona 5 Royale. But anyways, okay, I'm done now.
And there's a very good chance that I buy Doom Eternal tonight at midnight.
Oh yeah, hey, you got time, right?
if I can beat Mordor and Resident Evil 3 Nemesis tonight before I go to bed, I might just buy it and let it install while I'm sleeping. Might happen.
Why not? Right?
Yeah, we are at the global pandemic. Yeah. But yes, Justin, play that amazing theme music for What We Do in the Shadows, and let's go ahead and review our horror comedy choice for vampires.
Don't sing if you want to live long. They have no use for your song. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. You'll never get a second chance. Plan all your moves in advance. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. Stay dead and out of this world. Run fast, don't stand in the sun. There's too much work to be done. You're down, you're down, you're down. You're down and out of this world.
What We Do in the Shadows is a 2014 New Zealand mockumentary horror comedy written and directed by Jermaine Clement and Taika Waititi. They also both star in the film. Clement plays Vlad the Poker. He's super well known for being part of Flight of the Conchords, for which he won a Grammy.
Show. Love it.
And he starred in movies such as Men in Black 3, Rio, and Dinner for Schmucks. Fun fact, I actually saw him in New York do stand-up.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Yeah,
I was there, and we just walked into what was called Comic Strip Live, and he was there. It was super cool.
I love Flight of the Conchords, man. I'm so sad there's no more. Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. And then next, Taika Waititi. He has recently become a giant name in cinema. His first big directing role, for those like who are just more mainstream, was with the MCU, because he did Thor Ragnarok. Yep. Then he followed that up with the 6-time nominated film Jojo Rabbit, for which he won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. He's currently working on his next MCU film, Thor Love and Thunder, with Netflix. Oh, sorry, and with Netflix. He is working on 2 TV series based on the Roald Dahl stories.
I will pretty much at this point watch anything he makes. He is like Agreed. Kind of at that level for me now.
Yes, I totally agree. And in the film, Waititi plays Viago von Dorna Schmartin Schnenden Heimberg.
The fancy.
Hopefully
the
I
fancy
did that man. Right. I don't know German. The film centers around a bunch of vampires who live together in a flat in Wellington, New Zealand. Like I said, it already stars Clement and Waititi. It also has Jonathan Brew, Ben Fransham, and Jackie Van Beek. Brew plays Deacon Brooke. And outside of the film, he is most well-known for his performance in the movie 800 Words. Fransham plays Peter, my favorite vampire in the movie. He's 8,000 years old, looks a hell of a lot like Count Orlok.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of cool to find out that Fransham later acted as more monsters in TV shows, and he was a goblin in the Hobbit films.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Me either. And then Jackie Van Beek plays a character named after herself, and she is the human familiar of Deacon, and she has some amazing one-liners in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The film would premiere at Sundance 2014 before having a wide release later that year. Shot on a budget of $1.6 million, it would go on to gross over $6.9 million at a limited box office. It spanned a cult following. The film led to the creation of a TV show on FX of the same name, which is season 2 is coming out this year. It still follows around vampires living in a flat, but different vampires from the ones we see in this, and this time takes place in New Orleans.
If you ever get a chance, I'm going to say this right now, if you liked this movie, you will love the show.
Okay, perfect. And then apparently there was also a TV show called Wellington Paranormal that focused on the 2 cops that are featured in this film and their interaction with the different groups of monsters in the city.
I want to watch that. What was it called? I'm going to write it down.
Yeah, what TV actually had a hand in that too. So
really? Mm-hmm. Damn, I got to watch that.
And then I kind of talked to Justin about it, and he was kind enough to agree. There's not really a whole lot of reason to do a 6-second plot summary for this, because that's not how it would work. So I'm going to do a little quick plot breakdown, and we're just going to hop right into the review. So like I said, it's about a documentary film crew, following around these vampires who invited them into their home. And it's about their year in preparation leading up to the Unholy Masquerade.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And it's just their daily trials and tribulations.
Yeah, as vampires trying to live in the real world.
Yep, and so we'll start with plot. It was just such a great, unique take on these monsters, and not just the vampires, but werewolves and zombies, and it made for an immensely enjoyable movie.
Yeah, and like we kind of talked about, it doesn't really have like a ton of meat per se, but like it's still like captivating and interesting, and there's not like a ton there, but it works. What is there works, and it works amazingly.
And I won't lie, I was concerned going into this about how a mockumentary style would translate to a feature-length film.
Yeah, because
you think about The Office, you think about Parks and Rec, right? They're short. They're like 20 minutes, and they're like bits. And then you add in the fact that this is tackling vampires, right? So like, there's just so many off-the-wall things with this. But it was done well. It never really lingered on any sequence, and nothing ever went on too long. Like, the gags that were built up throughout the whole episode, or the whole movie, worked really well. And I was honestly just impressed. Very, very impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that it was... I mean, I don't have anything bad to say about it. Like, it's a really well thought out movie for, like you said, for a mockumentary. Like, I there is another mockumentary about a fake band that I watched. I don't remember what the hell it was called. It was about a fake band that, do you know who Les Claypool is?
Name sounds familiar.
He's the lead bassist, pretty much like the face of Primus, the band. He did like a mockumentary of a fake band. It wasn't that great, but I don't know. I think that it was definitely, could have been hit or miss, and like they hit this on the head so well. I have nothing bad to say about it, to be honest. Like,
all right, I will save this more for How Scary Funny, but I was actually shocked at how many times I jumped during this movie.
I had a lot to say about that in How Scary Funny, but I'm gonna just say it right here. I think this is not only the funniest vampire movie we've seen, but also like the scariest.
You think it's more scary than 30 Days a Night?
Yes. And okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll save that. We'll save that for the end then. All right.
All right.
But TV and Clement crafted a hilarious movie. And honestly, I would recommend this to anybody, even if you're a horror fan or if you're into vampires or anything. I think if you enjoy comedy, you can sit and watch this and just enjoy it.
Yeah, and because it kind of gives you like their, I mean, I feel like I'm just kind of explaining the plot here, but like they're very, each of them are very different vampires.
Yes.
And like,
they're all different ages too. That kind of explains why they act so differently.
Yeah, yeah. And like, because I mean, once they get, I'm again horrible with names. David, is that his name?
Which
the
one?
Young one?
Nick.
The one. Nick, yeah. He's like, he's been a vampire for 2 months, so he's like,
yep,
just cocky and arrogant, telling everybody he's a vampire.
Eats a potato chip and throws up blood all over the place.
That's so good.
And that's kind of like my last pro, is that we've talked a lot through this entire season about the different vampire tropes, right? We actually started this season out going through like, what are some of the tropes of vampires?
Yeah.
And they just do such a great job like discussing almost all of them, like from the reflections where like they're playing with the auto reflection there, and like how they feed to when the sunlight gets onto them. It's just, I don't know, man. It was just really, really well crafted. It was like well thought out.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, you're not seeing anything that you don't expect from like it uses all the lore very intelligently. It doesn't just like throw it in there. It almost like plays with it, and like it literally makes jokes about the lore of a vampire, and they all hit and they all land. I mean, personally for me, so no, I agree.
Yeah, well, I do have one con.
Yeah, go for it.
And that was more that like I did find myself like drifting towards like grabbing my phone a few times. It may be because I watched this like on Monday, and that was when we found out the lab was shutting down, so it might have been like my mind was kind of in 100 places.
Yeah.
But there were a few times in like the slower parts of the movie where I found myself just not captivated all the way. I still enjoyed it, and I was still paying attention. Like, I wasn't like checked out. It was more like it couldn't hold my full focus.
And I can definitely see that, because like I think that's one of the problems with there not being a lot of meat on the bones, is like when there's nothing like funny or like a setup to a joke even really happening, it's just kind of dull. But dull's kind of a harsh word.
That's why I used dull. Was like I said, it just couldn't hold me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
All right. So with that, you said you don't have any cons then, right? Because you said you have nothing negative to say?
Yeah.
I give it 8.5. I was really impressed.
I give it a 9.
All right, perfect. Moving on to cinematography. I feel like this one is like so simple to talk about, but you have to see the movie to appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it.
Because, like I stated, it's a mockumentary. So if you've seen The Office, you know how it's shot. And I just don't think this film would have been as funny or would have like been as enjoyable if it was shot like a normal film. I think it had to be shot like this for kind of the humor and the jokes and like the placement of like people in rooms and stuff for it to work.
Yeah, I mean it even kind of plays with that, like when one of the camera guys is like outside and he looks back into the house and you just see like Peter kind of like walking back and forth, like,
yeah,
being a goof, like being weird, and yeah, mm-hmm. No, it wouldn't you wouldn't have that kind of shot in a normal movie, right? So
yeah,
no, I think you're completely right.
There are two scenes I want to talk about, and there's one scene that I do want to save till the end. So if you want to talk about it, try to save it to the end, and that's when they chase Nick.
Okay.
I want to save that for how scary slash funny.
Okay, fair enough.
But the first scene I want to talk about is the hallway fight scene between Nick and Deacon.
You'll have to remind me.
Okay. What are they doing? So, Deacon confronts Nick because he's telling everybody that they're vampires and stuff, and they start floating on the ceiling. So, like, the cameraman is just sitting there posted, and they start floating up around. And then I think it's later on in that sequence, maybe it's another scene, too, where, like, they're fighting and the cops come in, but Taika Waititi's character, like, blinds them so they can't see it. So they keep saying, wait, what's this? It's like, where's your smoke detector?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just so well crafted, and it blows my mind, especially the hallway sequence, that this budget was so limited, and it looks so good. Like, the editing is so clean, and I was just so impressed. And he goes, wait, stand on the ceiling and flip me like a man. It was just, I don't know. It was just so, so good.
And, like, I mean, that kind of goes back to, like, the how funny, like, they use those kinds of shots. Like, they find humor in, like, almost everything in this movie. Like, when they're playing on the Lost Boys, like, with the spaghetti.
It's the worst.
And making his penis look like a snake. Oh, yeah.
So, like, it has to actually look like it.
Yeah.
All right. The second sequence I want to talk about.
Yeah.
The werewolf chase scene.
Okay,
Not only is that shot well, but it goes back to, like, we'll get to it later in the how scary slash funny, but it's kind of scary, especially when the camera gets taken down and gets eaten, mauled alive in front of the camera. Like, that's heavy. And don't forget poor Stu, the human who the vampires have just, like, fallen in love with and, like, protected him from, like, the other bad vampires at the Unholy Masquerade. Like, he gets killed. He gets eviscerated.
But, I mean, it all works out in the end, but yes.
It all works out in the end, but, like, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, I mean, even, like, when it shows, spoilers, I guess, even though obviously we've been spoiling it, when it shows Stu, like, turning into a werewolf and he's, like, freaking out, and, I mean, even that's scary.
Yeah.
But well thought out, yeah.
And, like, so there are some werewolf transformations and stuff, too, and obviously there's a lot of history of werewolf transformations either being, like, breathtakingly amazing or really, really, really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But they use the mockumentary-style shooting to their advantage in this, so that it's like it hops in between stuff, so you don't see everything, but you see enough to know what's happening, and it just works out really well.
Yeah, and kind of with that, they don't really have to explain why you don't see everything, because, I mean, it's, you're like, oh, okay, this is a cameraman, like, running away for his life, like, he's not gonna stay on it 100%. No, I definitely agree. So something that I actually want to ask you is, I know the weird flight stuff didn't work for you in Lost Boys at the end.
It worked in this one because it was obviously trying to be funny.
Okay. Like when they're fighting about dishes.
Yes. It was obviously trying to be goofy. And because of that, I thought it was funny. Which is why I'm saying they filmed it like a documentary. And because of that, like I was saying, if they had done it any other way, it wouldn't have landed like it did.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, because they leaned into the mockumentary, it, like, all of the things that would have been really cheesy, like, worked even better.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So for cinematography, man, I gave it a 9. Like, part of me want to give it a 10, but I just feel like we have seen movies on this podcast that really have, like, nailed everything. And so I just think it was a little bit below that, but it was really good.
No, I actually agree. I also gave it a 9. So I'm right there with you.
Moving on to audio. So the acting across the board is amazing. Like, literally fantastic. Every single person is just amazing, and they have backstories and their characters have personalities. I like Taika Waititi, so I think he was probably my favorite character with Viago and his love for the old lady. And then in the end, he finally does get her, because even though he's so much older than her 90-year-old self, it doesn't matter. But I think my favorite character is probably Jackie. She had so many funny lines, and she's like, if I had a dick, I would have been a vampire by now. And I just thought it was so funny. I don't know. It was just, it made me laugh. That was probably one of the funniest scenes. I was just dying because she delivered it so deadpan, and it was just great.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree with you. For me, it's really a tie between Jackie and Deacon, because I just I don't know. I watched Flight of the Conchords when it was like on TV, and I still, I mean, it's been how long?
Deacon wasn't in that. You're talking about Vlad.
Oh, sorry. Yes, Vlad. Vlad is the one I meant, not Deacon. Sorry.
Yes, I know.
I'm bad with names. But yeah, no, Vlad the Poker. I thought he was just like so over the top in his, like, even like his sexuality. It was just, it was hilarious.
It's so funny. The opening theme song for the credits. Oh, awesome. I've been humming it all week.
You know, I'm sad it took us this long to watch this, but I'm also very glad that I got to, I mean, we got to watch it for the first time for you for the show, because I think it's such a good movie.
Well, that's kind of the thing. Like, there's a lot of games. Like, Outlast is a game I wanted to play before starting this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to save that first experience for the podcast. So it's killing me because I have it. Like, I've since bought it.
Yeah.
But I want to wait. I want to play it, you know? And so I think when we get to actually do it, as long as it's good, there tends to be a nice payoff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next pro is that I really like the soundscape they chose for the film. The flat seems to be years in the past, even though it exists in modern day New Zealand, and it kind of fits for them, right? They're these old creatures living in modern day society, and they just don't understand. One of my favorite things about it goes back to how they tie in the tropes, is that they can't go into the clubs unless they get invited in by the bouncers.
Yeah. And they're going up to the bouncers like, come on, invite me in. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And then the last thing I want to say is I'm a huge fan of Peter. And I think my only complaint for this movie, like a big complaint, is that I wanted more of Peter, because he dies and it's so sad and his corpse is just sitting there, but he looks just like Count Orlok. And he was the first thing that made me jump when Taika goes down and wakes him up and hands him the chicken. He's terrifying. We're going to get to this. We're very close to it for the house, scary and funny. But man, that chase scene around the house that kicks off the movie proper is good. And I don't know. Yeah. I just thought it was, like, the chase music was great. And I don't know. I was really impressed. I was really, really, really impressed.
No, I agree. I literally, like, I do not have anything bad to say about this movie. I mean, I especially when it comes to audio, because I just, I think they all nailed it in the acting, like, perfectly. And like you mentioned, that the theme music is so memorable and it gets in your head and it stays there.
Yes, it does.
And, yeah, I don't know. And like, it just, it all works.
I gave it a 9.
I gave it a 10.
Okay. And finally, how scary / funny. This movie had me laughing ridiculously hard. And as we've talked about in this podcast already, I needed that. Pretty
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, I think this was like, I mean, obviously, like, we've had this kind of season planned out for a long time. I think this was the perfect time for us to watch this movie for the show, because like you mentioned, it was definitely like, it was alleviating to be able to like just sit there and laugh.
And I've really become a big fan of what TD in the last few years, and I did not know that not only was he starring in this, but that he directed and co-wrote it.
Yeah.
So when he pops on and it's his face, I was like, holy shit, that's Taika Waititi. And I was just, it has set the tone so well, and it was just great. Okay. Finally, two things. The funniest part of the movie for me, I think, is their first encounter with the werewolf group.
Oh, when they're werewolves. When
they're howling at them and like saying, and they can't cuss, we're werewolves, not swearwolves. I don't know why, but I was laughing so hard through that entire sequence. I thought it was so damn funny.
Yeah, I have to say, for me, it's got to be a tie between two things. It's either his interrupted sex dance in front of all of his friends.
Oh, yeah.
Or the explanation on why they eat virgins.
Yes, that was good, too. Yeah, that's a really, really good one, too. Yeah, jeez. Okay. The scariest part of the movie for me, and it still had humor in it, which is really impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Was them chasing Nick around the house, which culminated in Peter feasting and turning him. Because it starts out with him trying to get away, and he comes back because he can't find his way out, and his friend who was there with him is getting feasted upon, but Taika hit the carotid, so she's spraying blood everywhere, and they're just floating around, and chasing around the house. He's in that room, and he reaches into the backpack, and then, like, the arm comes out, and Deacon starts crawling out of the backpack, and the music's just playing, the documentary crew is just chasing around, he's, like, interacting with the documentary crew, and he gets outside, and then Peter tackles him. And, like, we think he's dead, right? We think Peter got him, and that was the end of it. And they even comment, like, man, it's a bad way to go. And then we find out that that Peter turned him.
Yeah, and I mean, like you mentioned, like, there's so much, like, horror and comedy blended so well in that scene. Like, the perfect scene, that like, the perfect part is, like, when he's running away, I don't remember from who, and he comes into the I think it's like the kitchen or something, and it's either Deacon or Vlad, I don't remember who, but like they're half transformed into a dog because he can't get the faces right.
Remember, because he's impotent because his wife, the beast, beat him
right
up, so he can't do full transformation, so he looks like a cat but he still has his face.
Man, I love this movie so much. It's so good.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, I really, not only did I really need it, it was good, it delivered on all levels. And guys, this is one you have to watch, and I think it is the best piece of media to end the vampire season on.
No, well, I agree.
Last review to end the vampire season on. And with that being said, I gave it a 9.
I gave it a 10. I think the blend of like comedy with like little like tiny bits of horror in there, it just
so
it
before worked. I'm sorry. So, but before I reveal the scores, Justin, I want to know, because I know you were also a giant fan of Shaun of the Dead. You gave that a 10, too. Which one do you think is funnier, this or Shaun of the Dead?
Oh, that's hard, because I think they really have their own.
They I am both, like, to stand make you decide apart. Right now.
Oh.
Just because I'm curious, because you've spoken so highly of both of them.
Huh. Oh, that's going to be hard. Okay.
I mean, found this more funny because I gave Shaun of the Dead 8.5. I gave this one a 9.
No, I agree. I think this is in just the funny section. I mean, overall, you know what? No, I have to go with this, because literally the first time I watched this when it came out, the one thing I said was, man, that would work so well as a show. And I wanted to see more right away. Whereas with Shaun of the Dead, it was like, okay, I'm good. Like, it was funny. I'm glad I watched it. I thought it was hilarious. I'm glad I watched it, but I don't need to see any more. Whereas with this, I was like, you know what? I want as much as they can give me. So, like, I was really hoping they would do something with it. And I really think, personally, the fact that they made it into a TV show and it turned out so well, even in the TV show, like, I think that helps elevate this in a way.
So you would highly recommend the TV show, because I think I watched the first episode with Devin.
I mean, I will see if I can like buy the DVD of the first season, and we can like watch party that if you want.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Because like it's so good.
Like a Discord watch party, like get everybody in Discord and watch it. Yeah, I would love to do that. I mean, like I said, it's kind of crazy out there now, so having a little bit of lightheartedness would be nice.
Yeah, I'll see if I can track it down like when we're done recording, and then.
All right. So then, reviewing the scores for plot, I gave it an 8.5. Just gave it a 9. Cinematography, we gave it 9s. Audio, gave it a 9. Just gave it a 10. And for how scary or funny, I gave it a 9. Just gave it a 10. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 92% A-.
Fitting, very fitting.
It falls right below Shaun of the Dead, which has a 93% A.
Damn. Okay.
But it is currently 1, 2, 3. It is our 7th ranked piece of media on the podcast.
7th, really?
Yeah, it's above The Conjuring. Right. Gerald's Game, Resident Evil 2 Remake, 28 Days Later, Gremlins, Scream, Shaun of the Dead, What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
Then rounding out the top 10, Conjuring, Doctor Sleep, Alien.
Yeah, I mean, I love this movie. I might actually watch it again this weekend. or I might just, like, rewatch. Oh, I don't know. The second season. All right, I'm getting too into myself. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. So, guys, thanks for joining us for the review. Make sure you check this out. It is definitely worth your time. And like we said, in a world where a lot of things are uncertain, being able to lean back and watch something and laugh is pretty nice. Justin's going to play a commercial from one of our member networks on the Kaleidoscope Media Network, and then we'll get on into the closing.
Ghosts, split souls, monsters, sociopathic villains,
cold-blooded murders,
and nightmares becoming reality.
Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series.
It can be scarier than you might think.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And in our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
We are wrapping up vampires next week.
Yeah, it's almost like a little surreal. I mean, we have some like emergency replanning to do, I think. But
I have an idea. We'll talk about that off air, but I have some ideas. Next week, okay. We're going to reveal. We're not doing a full season again yet. There are two things we want to dive into beforehand. Yep. And we'll reveal that next week. So stick around for that. But yeah, next week is going to be Are Vampires Still Scary? I'm going to really, really try to get some feedback from people who listen to the show, like either emails or send us audio clips or something, because I want to know what you guys think, because I have been teasing this for a while, and I'm very, very curious to see what others think about this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. And also, I do want to mention just kind of before we go here that because of everything going on, we decided that we would just kind of record some extra episodes and throw it up in there, and that way if you're stuck at home, if you just want to take your mind off something, off everything, you'll have a couple more episodes there.
Yeah, I was thinking they'll probably drop next week on Wednesday and Friday. Was kind of Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, and then again, I'm going to try and get a hold of What We Do in the Shadows or something. We'll figure something out, and then we'll probably do like a watch party or something next week.
Maybe I'll make Justin watch the Resident Evil animated movie with me.
I've seen them already.
Oh, have you? Good. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But yeah, guys, like Justin said, it's kind of heavy out there. Our Discords are always open. You can hit us up on Twitter if you just want to talk about scary movies or horror in general and distract yourself. But
I mean, you can even email us too if you just need to get some thoughts out there. Yeah.
We're here and I'm working from home, so I'll have two screens up, one for work and one for pleasure.
I'm not at home, but I find any excuse to I find any excuse to go on my phone now, so
but yeah, guys, until next week, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.